Hey guys, just a little note on this episode. This is one that you may want to enjoy on YouTube for the video version. I think there's just some really cool stuff with the George tribute and some moments throughout it that might be extra special on the YouTube version. Of course, audio, completely fine as well. But this is just an extra special one you may want to check out on YouTube as well. Please enjoy.
I see it finally.
Yes!
There it is.
Oh, it's so pretty.
This is what you get.
Is it heavy?
It is quite heavy.
Looks pristine.
Damn, wow. That's a big fat metal.
Did they engrave it yet?
Got engraved on the back.
Not for a long time. That was like a year ago.
He was teasing it. I mean, you were practicing for it.
Well, go and say it.
Steeplechase.
Do you want to run a steeplechase?
This is episode one. Just to get us going, little introductions. Our other member.
What's up?
George.
I've been pretty freaking stoked with being fifth in the world in 6 months.
Everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Cup Podcast for episode 200. Believe it or not, we are here, we are back, and we are giving you our big episode 200 celebration. And it is the celebration of us, the Coffee Cup Podcast, for making it to episode 200. So everyone, give yourselves a pat on the back. But it's also the celebration of George Beamish, our first world champion. I don't know, did you win anything in Minecraft in the last?
No, I didn't. I didn't win anything that gets to that magnitude.
No.
Our only and our double world champion, B Dubs B.
Yep.
Beamish Dub.
So, this is going to be such an exciting episode and a big celebratory episode. So, pour yourselves a glass of champagne. Unfortunately, we didn't bring any, but.
Espresso martini, maybe.
Whatever.
Yeah,
it is.
Coffee Club. But we made it here. We haven't got cancelled. And we appreciate not being cancelled to episode 200, which it was getting risky there, but we made it.
We did make it. George is still in Japan. George, how does your head feel right now?
Hello, boys. I'm feeling honored that I've made the cut for episode 200 to also be the world champion celebration. So that feels like a pretty big achievement in the last few days. So I'm feeling very happy about that. And I'm good. Yeah, it's been an awesome few days, and excited to been doing quite a lot of media, but this is the one I've been looking forward to the most. This one's the most special. So looking forward to having a good old chat about it.
That warms the heart right there. So we're going to do a deep dive on George's experience in Japan and all the craziness that has gone for him in the last week or so. But before that, we will just take a moment to reflect on these 200 episodes that we have recorded. And before we talk about a few moments from these episodes, I think on behalf of all of us, I just do want to say a massive thank you to everyone out there in the community, all our fans, our team, Tom, Noah, Jack, who does the graphics, friends and family on for supporting us. I mean, it's just the community that we have around us. I think the three of us boys will just say nonstop how gracious we are to have it and to be a part of it. And it makes doing this podcast every week so worth it and so amazing. And we say this all the time, but we come here and we record in a studio, and sometimes we take it maybe a little bit for granted. And then you go out into the world, whether that's a race or whatever it is, and you see all that real people, the real fans out there, and it's just, oh, it makes you feel so special. I saw the fan in Japan with the merch. I don't know. Did you see them in person? Yeah. They had the sign for you and they had the merch.
The like the black coffee yes. club George Beamer sign. Yeah. They came. I saw them like a few times. They came to, like, I feel like I saw it in the stadium, and maybe they came to the medal ceremony as well. No, that was sick.
Do you know what the story is behind her? Like, how is she a coffee club fan in Japan?
I don't know. I know it had like OEC Coffee Club and something else like all lined up on that sign. Don't know, didn't get to the bottom of it.
So good. But yeah, so do we have, I mean, like, okay, so we've recorded 200 episodes. We've spoken for many hours. We've, I mean, it's been a dialogue between us and the fans for 200 episodes. That's like, what, how many years is that? 4 years? I don't know. It's our whole lives are out there.
I think we're almost at 4 years, because we started it 2021 after the Olympics, like in that fall, which must be like September, maybe we started October. I think we're either like right at 4 years or right about to hit 4 years, right? Does that add up?
No, that does. But it adds up, but then it doesn't add up at the same time, because it's hard to comprehend that we've done a podcast.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. No, I mean, from, yeah, just such a big thank you to everyone for giving us this platform. Like, it's actually been such a memorable part of, like, a professional running career. Like, if not, like, one of the more memorable things that we've been able to do as runners now. And, yeah, especially from me and Ollie, a big thank you to Morgan and Tom for running the show in a lot of ways, and allowing us to talk shit mostly. And mostly Ollie, actually, let's be honest.
Yeah, mostly me.
He's pretty good at it.
Yeah, I know. I mate, maybe you have a future in
talking shit.
Talking shit.
You have a present in talking shit.
You yeah. have you what do you mean future? Well, you have both.
It's got me this far. It's got me this far. I think, yeah, it's crazy. It's been as long as it has. I remember us having this conversation, 4 years ago with Jason, our treatment guy, and also Coffee Lover, just saying you guys should just do this as a podcast. And
Farmers Union.
Farmers Union. And then we thought, why don't we try it? And then we outlived a lot of other podcasts that were in the running world. And
kept it rolling. I mean, I'll be honest. I didn't think that we'd get to 200 because I just never thought about it. If you know what I mean. But like, did you think that we would make it this far?
No. Well, like, I hoped we would. But I definitely felt that I think our content, just speaking to some of the fans that I've been able to have the privilege of meeting the past few years, you think that like the success of the podcast comes from world championships or Commonwealth Game, or, you know, like winning nationals or going to the Olympics, which we've all done. It's actually not. It's ourselves. Which is a very sweet thing to learn, is that a lot of the runners that listen to us, besides our achievements, enjoy hearing our perspectives on being professional athletes, what it's like to travel, to race, to have disappointment, and to have exciting success, which we've just recently seen with George. So having that kind of connection with the fans as well on more of a personal level is a very, very sweet thing. We talk a lot of shit. We make a lot of fun of the structure of our sport and kind of how our life goes, and people kind of enjoy it because we see things that they see, but it's not commented on. And I guess that's why we're here, and that's why people love listening in to us. And yeah, we appreciate all your support. And again, like George emphasized, Tom and Morgan, George and I are mostly just, we play characters. We enjoy coming into the pod.
It is a team effort.
It is a team effort, but George and I come into the pod and we've usually do the minimal work, but put in the maximum effort when we get into the, to the green couch. And, well, it is. And, we appreciate you, Tom, and we appreciate you, Morgs. Particularly, I think Tom, you joining in to help Morgan out with the load, particularly as it's almost an impossible feat to keep this going, and we've been able to keep it going, and Morgan just spearheading Coffee Club, being the father of Coffee Club, it's amazing to be a part of. And yeah, I mean, we wouldn't have this community, and this community is special, and every time I go to a meet, all the other athletes are a bit envious of us, and we have you guys listening to thank for that. So appreciate you guys making it 200. I haven't been cancelled yet, and I haven't sold out yet, so that's good either.
Yeah, we have had a couple of strikes though, off the record.
Yeah, off the record. I mean, yeah, that's just how it is.
Small cancellations.
Yeah, that's how it is these days.
Just
yeah, you gotta.
I feel like I'm trying to remember early days. I feel like we used to joke about like a number we would, and I feel like it was like 69 and 1,000 were like the two episodes that we were like
significant numbers in our
lives. Sure, if we get 1,000, we should just, I don't know what we would do for an episode.
I don't know how confident we were that was going to happen, though, but I feel like we used to talk about like future numbers more.
Earth-wise,
probably one of us will be by the time before we get to episode 1,000. I don't know. I don't know if I want to put that in the universe, but it would be a very difficult feat. But do we have any favorite moments from the pod? I know it's really hard for us to reflect because, you know, we come in here, we do it, but do you guys have any moments that stand out? I mean, for us, I guess there's the podcast recordings, but then I guess more significant to us is actually when we're at events, getting to interact with fans or do like a live podcast in New York. Like those are the things that I guess to me stand out.
Yeah. Lots of highlights at different places. I think Philly and New York are always highlights. They feel like, those feel like home races for Coffee Club somehow, which is like something I would have never thought would have happened like through a podcast. It's like feeling like you literally have like a home crowd in those couple of places.
Sir Walter for all of this year.
Yeah. Maybe Sir Walter now. I haven't been back since we started Sir Walter.
You're going to have Coffee Club security. It was pretty amazing.
I went to Sir Walter before we started the podcast because that was like August 2021. So I haven't been back since Coffee Club, which is actually crazy.
That is crazy.
So we have to get that back. And then honestly, like the first Christmas episode is like, I remember very fondly that it was hilarious in the basement with the gifts.
You guys didn't drink the
episode of Hunts.
We wanted to donate the money.
No, I donated the money.
Yeah, we wanted you to donate the money. So,
but no, that, I mean, yeah, the galas, I think, were been an amazing outlet. Professional athletes are very rigid people, and we are from a professional athlete family. Having the galas, having a party, having a few drinks, dancing, having friends come in, celebrate, have a good time, good or bad year, everyone comes in and just has an absolutely amazing time. And those are Coffee Club galas every year. That's the party for OEC or for even some of the professional athletes in Boulder. And my fond memory is...
This year is going to be a good one.
This year is going to be a good one.
Are you going to be here, George?
Well, don't ever do I get back.
Oh, that
before Halloween or after Halloween?
Before. Okay. But not by a whole lot.
There is stuff in the pipeline. We're trying to figure out location. It'll either be Yared.
I heard it was at your house.
Or it'll be at mine.
That's what I heard. Someone told me that.
Yared wants to host it.
Really?
Yeah. But
he wants everyone to be outside.
Yeah, which is why I think it wouldn't be possible, and it would be like this is. I'll tell you the little thing about my idea for Coffee Cup Gala as a side note, because I know we're
it's conscious, that time of year. Time.
It is that time of year. But one of my favorite memories is from episodes, the Kate Grade episode with the pregnancy stuff. I thought that was amazing because you have three boys who have no idea what the hell's going on, and Morgan's opening to that was how are babies made. To Kate Grade,
still don't know,
and we still don't know. She didn't answer that question, but it was great to have her on and talk about something that we have nothing to add into that conversation for women that are professional athletes that get pregnant and contracts and all that sort of stuff. It was an amazing chat, I thought, and it was very insightful. And then the other one was the Coffee Club Gala at the Longmont place that were there for like 2 months. Tom Wang came in on a whim.
That was our 1 year birthday, no?
1 year birthday. He set up the whole place. And then the three of us got videoed getting iced from the coffee club cake because he put Smirnoff
I think we need to do this to that prank. So
that prank was great.
People that are listening. So
I remember being so confused.
I was like, Cuddy, I was like, what the hell is this?
They took us three boys away. Tom had set this up prior with some help from Mario and some others. And they had a cake and they're like, okay, this cake is like for you guys to celebrate coffee club's birthday. And then in front of everyone, it's like singing happy birthday, starting to cut the cake, and there was three Smirnoff ices in there. I don't think there's been a better icing in history.
No, and we all three of us got iced, and that was it. Yeah,
it was the most convincing. It was just
100%. That was a great moment for me. I felt like it was a special time. And
George mentioned episode 100.
Episode 100 is,
I think. He probably mentioned it because Mike Smith was on that episode. But on top of that, we also had some other guests.
Yes.
I look back on episode 100 and it's like a blur in terms of like, I don't know how we pulled that off logistically because we set up this whole studio. Like leading into it, we had to set up the whole studio and we still had episodes coming out into it. Like, I don't understand. And we had, I don't know how many guests it was, 6, 7.
We had to break it up into two.
We had three separate filming times that I think we, or two.
Or was it three or two? I think it was three separate filming, two days.
I think it was three.
Yeah, because we had a special filming. For the Ingebrigtsens, of course.
The fact that I won in part two.
With his brother, and he rocked up and he had a disco ball going. Like,
well, the crazy thing is having him and Josh Kerr on the same episode.
Wait, Josh Kerr was on that episode?
He was, yeah. It was Josh. It was Jake Whiteman.
I think we started the... We started
that. It was
Stewie?
Stewie was on it, yep.
Mick
Byrne, he was drunk.
Jake? Was Jake on that one?
Jake was on it.
I think he was, yeah.
No, and hearing them talk about the pod...
We had a bunch of our teammates as well.
We had a lot of our teammates jump in. And then now, since it's grown, we've seen Jakob driving his car with his Coffee Club shirt on, which is awesome.
The glow up to the studio was wild too.
Yeah, the studio was a big part, I think.
Became really...
Yeah.
Yeah, the studio, having the...
As part of episode 100?
Yeah, that was just a lot. So that was amazing. My favorite episode that we filmed is episode 0.
Which will never be seen.
That's an inside joke for early Coffee Club fans. I don't think we've mentioned episode 0 for a very long time.
Yeah, a long time.
But good luck trying to find it. It's somewhere, but you won't find it.
Yeah, you won't find it.
And I actually have no idea what we talked about.
We ever recorded an episode that, like, after a full recording, we realized that there was no, like, we didn't even start the recording? Is there an episode that's actually just disappeared?
That hasn't happened, which is...
I don't know how that hasn't. Now I shouldn't have said that because now I'm nervous that,
that
it's going
to
happen.
As sometimes like I'd slip up or something would happen that we'd say something that we're not supposed to say in the sense of like maybe it's news that's not public or, you know, stuff like that.
We cut stuff out occasionally. The biggest one that we had was actually, so I think it was episode 7 or 8. It was when we had Joey on and... We had Joey on for the entire episode, I think, and half the episode, it was a long recording. It was like a 90-minute recording in total. And half the episode, we recapped the New York Marathon and we listened back to it. And our recap of the marathon was so bad that we cut out the whole half of the podcast and we just only released all the Joey stuff because this is like when we were, you know, pretty new to it. And I think it was like, all right, let's try like New York Marathon, big deal. Let's try kind of like talk about it, capitalize it. But we had not paid enough attention to it to try and talk about it in that level of depth.
Yeah,
so
context.
I wrote out all these notes for it. And then so pretty much it was just like reading notes for like 40 minutes of like, yeah, so this was the result. This was the result. It was really bad.
So that, we're still so bad. We're still so bad.
And we haven't gotten any better, but we just don't try as much anymore.
We just kind of make fun of it. So
that's probably the better way to do it.
There was a couple of visual ones that were super cool. I mean, in the backyard.
Naked.
The Naked 69 episode. And there's the one that's
such a good joke.
That one was cool that George and I did a while ago. Or was it you?
Wait, which one are we?
The one that were on the roof.
You might be thinking Roof for Zurich as well.
Yeah, the Roof for Zurich.
That was cool.
We did some, done some
coffee shot with Jordan in Zurich.
Cool. Jordan was sick.
That was pretty sweet.
Live recording.
That's the only one we've ever done in a coffee shop still.
Yeah, we've had offers.
Because that's something we thought we were going to do in the early days. We're like, oh yeah, all the time. We're going to be doing this all the time.
We'll do it in
a coffee shop.
We have something big related to that we never talked about. I don't think we ever mentioned this on the podcast, but this was early days, probably five episodes in for our Instagram content. Or I think I don't know if we were going to release them as Instagram or YouTube.
We
recorded about eight of them. Like we actually recorded many.
I have them still all on my phone.
I have them on my like edited. So we were going to do like essentially
like a TikTok short thing.
Portnoy one bite pizza reviews, but for coffee. And Ollie was the host and he would get a coffee and then he would...
It just didn't work.
Sip it and then he would always get
the same one and rate it. We'll try and get the same type of coffee
just,
and rate it.
It just didn't work because it was always just like, yeah, this coffee's good.
Yeah. And the variety there. And also I was going to coffee shops that were amazing. And like, I remember Jordan Donnelly filmed one of them at Tim Wimbledon.
Yeah, you guys like...
We did a couple like
there was about
ones.
10 that got recorded and they got put out because he's like...
I did one with Joe Klecker in St. Maroon.
I recorded some in Munich.
We did one in Golden.
Yeah, we did one in Golden.
We did our first one was Ampersand. Mm-hmm. There was actually a lot that got.
There was a lot of them that didn't make the cut, and I'm glad that they didn't because they weren't very good.
I wonder if we could revamp it one day.
Yeah. The idea was genuine, but it just didn't work. I mean, the best thing I would think of that might be a possible cool idea was to potentially find someone as a fan, give them a coffee, not tell them where it's from. And then they rate it, and then we like promote the coffee shop. So it's pretty much just give them a coffee and say, "Oh, it's a good coffee." It's like, "Yeah, this is the coffee shop."
That'd be cool.
But I think we revamp it in Schooner Scorer.
Oh yeah, Schooner Scorer, yeah.
I think you do that. You order a flat white, and then you just scull it as fast as you can, and say like one word about it.
Yeah, it's like nectar. Yeah, I'd probably say something like that. But
what else? Were there any other ideas that we had to just absolutely cut and did not work out?
I can't really think of any that like made it.
That one was
made it as far as those other ones that got cut. There's certainly probably been ideas that haven't made it along the way.
Probably not.
I thought the good for the sports segment was going to last forever.
It still kind of exists though.
We could still do it. But then I think we kind of shot ourselves in the foot because I think Good for the Sport got bigger than us because it just became part of common tongue.
Who started it though?
Well, I don't we said it a lot, but it's not like we invented it.
No, we didn't invent the phrase.
I don't know who influenced us to start saying it.
It's probably somebody in our running community that's
probably like
I think we popularized it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least in our little bubble.
In our little
It's like the gritty. Yeah. I found out recently.
Exactly like
gritty. I found out recently that Justin Jefferson didn't invent the gritty, but he popularized it.
That probably sounds right.
Sounds like the gritty.
I had to look that up recently. This is basically, it's on the same level as that.
Yeah. I think we didn't make any merch for Good for the Sport or anything. No. We should have cashed in on that more. We should have copyrighted it. It's too bad. Actually, our first shirt that didn't sell. Actually, we have had multiple merch things that we've
not sold
that we've tried to plan and do, but not sold and just yada yada.
Good for the sport right here.
Yeah,
that one. I have that one. Everyone asked me about
good for the sport.
Like, oh, is that for sale? And I was like, no.
No, sorry.
And
zero.
Another thing that everyone keeps asking every single time I'm out is the Gush plushies. People want more of them.
Hey, if you didn't get them, you didn't get them.
The amount of people in Australia that are pissed about not getting a Gush plushie, I was like, dude.
Yeah, there's like, I think you can buy it. Wasn't there one available on eBay?
There was one on eBay for like $600.
Yeah, you got to bid on that. You got to bid it up. I mean, it'd be cool to do. I guess the plushies idea was a bit of a fail because my idea for the merch line for the plushies initially was that it would be about one quarter of this size. Like, I was thinking essentially a bobblehead. And then I was thinking of making a lot of them. So I was thinking of making Gus ones, but then ones for the three of us as well, but like different versions of us. So there was going to be like, you know, there'd be like...
Oh, Labubu.
Exactly.
But like, we would have been Labubu.
Like, it was going to be like, there was going to be like a textbook George, there's going to be like a Comp Games Gold Ollie. There's going to be like an Injured Morgan. There's going to be like a Mountain Dew Video Games Ollie. Like, there's going to be like all these different like things. And then it didn't happen. But it still could happen, I guess.
Well, I mean, but
we could. And you could just press order and it actually does randomize it like Labubu. Isn't that how Labubu works? You don't actually know which one you get in.
That would actually be cool, except everyone would... Actually, it'd be good for us because everyone would just keep ordering multiple and then you might get the same one.
Dude, just so, gambling. As much as we can make our merch gambling, it's...
I have an idea, a future idea that we've discussed that I'm not going to talk on the podcast because I don't want anyone to steal it, but there's an idea that could be forming as well.
Let it be known. Ollie has an idea.
I have an idea and it could be good. Who knows?
All right. Well, maybe at episode 300, we'll either be talking about how that didn't work out or how that did work.
Well, how did that work? And we just live on a yacht.
Yeah. So I think it's a good time. I mean, we could reminisce forever, and I'm sure we will reminisce more, but I think now we have to get into what this amazing, amazing accomplishment this past week, which I know you all saw it already. George winning the world championships in Tokyo in the steeplechase in a very exciting race. It was a saga. It literally went viral. It was like textbook, but it was beyond textbook. It was newspaper. You know what I mean? Like, it was like front page
headline.
It was amazing. The coming from the heats, getting your face stepped on, but just before we get into it, how much did you get stepped on? Because that picture looks like your face is about to get chopped.
The freeze frame made it look so much worse, honestly.
Because your face,
I think it looks
right now.
Yeah, we're good. I do have like a pointy nose too. Like, it doesn't squish, so like it could have been like kind of bad But I think like the freeze frame makes it look like his foot is hitting my face, but in reality, his foot and my face were traveling at like the same speed. Like, because I'm rolling so quickly and his foot, so it's like we're going the same speed. And so by the time like his foot goes past, like I've also already moved past and his foot hits the ground. And luckily it was like the heel of the shoe, not the spike part. But I honestly didn't even notice that happened until I saw the photo. Like, afterwards, I wasn't like, oh, wow, I felt like someone stepped on my face.
Until you saw it when...
Literally didn't realize. It did happen quite quickly. And then maybe just enough adrenaline that I was not thinking about it. But that really, really set the stage for the final. Yeah. Made headlines for all the wrong reasons in the first round.
Set the absolute perfect stage. I think, before we get into it, Tom, can I just ask you something from the notes which you put in? Maybe I'll ask the boys first if they remember. Did we have a deal from the New Year's episode of something related to George winning worlds? Was there a bet?
Yeah.
There was? Ollie did?
No.
I'm going to go back to the transcript, but this is actually...
I thought it was 5K. I thought it was like running really fast in the 5K, but it could be a world champion.
Tom has put in the notes that Ollie has to get a Brazilian or trade his Tesla in for a Prius now?
Yes.
I'm
is that true? Is that true?
I really hope
this better be true.
What are you picking?
I don't know.
Wait, he gets to choose one of those two things
right now, so I don't know.
Yeah, I think it looks like that's a pick to get a Brazilian or trade in his Tesla for the Prius.
Oh, this is the best news I've heard since all week. Oh, we need this transcript.
What are you picking?
I don't know.
He looks nervous.
I thought it was Jordy could put a tattoo on my ass. That's what I thought it was.
What, you would
that
take
was that? An old one. I think you made a new one. I think you made a new bit. Oh, he's looking nervous. I can tell.
I don't want to get a Brazilian awesome.
Wait, a Brazilian doesn't sound that bad, does it?
It's pretty bad.
It'd be really
bad. I'm going with you. I'm going in that room. I'm not missing that.
100%. We're getting out for that.
We'll recreate the 40-year-old virgin scene, but it'll be always
crap. That just sounds terrible.
I take back what I said. I just thought about it. It sounds terrible.
Yeah, fuck you, Morgan. I'd rather Jordy pick a tattoo that you can put on my body. I'd rather that.
Like, actually?
Yeah.
Okay. I have it. I'll present the clip.
Can I do a New Year's thing with you?
San Francisco Peak.
San Francisco Peak.
Yep.
I want to do the bet because we've had bets before, like the ones with the tattoos on the ass if we ran like the world record for the 5K. If I win a gold medal at Tokyo World Championship, so there was a 5K, 1500, triple jump, whatever, you have to shave your head with me. If I win a gold medal.
With you? That's nothing for you.
Only wants to shave his head.
No, but I can shave my head, but you have to do it with me if I win a gold medal at the World Championships. Are you going to accept that?
What I win?
If you win,
what will you do?
I'll get a Brazilian.
Oh, he went far.
He went there.
Yeah, he said I'll shave my head and
I'm trying to think of something that George would agree to. I don't know what else. I could not play video games.
I'm pretty sure
Brazilians.
Yeah,
yeah, they're terrifying. I don't want to get them. Yeah. Actually, no, I don't trust that because Jordy's already won a world championship.
What is George? I think this has to come down to because you want George to shave his head.
Yeah.
Now, what does George want Ollie to do? Let's think about that. And I'm thinking it's going to be something related to like maybe make him a meal once a week or maybe
why is the once a week meal
sell
thing
you, so sell hard? Your car and like get like a less good car maybe. Okay. I don't know.
All right.
Wait, the first thing I thought of was.
See, we're on the right.
I would agree to that because
you have to sell your Tesla.
I would sell my
if
Tesla.
George wins. That's a crazy bet.
And you have to drive a Fiat 500.
Yeah,
or a Prius, or a Prius, so he can maintain.
Yeah, something way less cool.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. You have to drive a Prius.
I don't know if anybody's looking at a Tesla thinking
Ollie
that's cool.
That.
But yeah, all right. Yeah, sweet. All right, I'll do it. Deal. All right. Me and George got our year bet.
Now Woody and I have to do one.
Yeah.
No,
if I win, you kiss me. No.
If I win, you kiss me. If I lose, you kiss me.
No chance that happens.
Yeah. Can we amend the dare?
Because how can you amend it right now? It's 8 months.
How
can you amend it after
it
happens?
I wish I said tattoo. I wish I said tattoo because I would actually do that.
The tattoo would be permanent, though.
Yeah, I'd prefer that than a Brazilian dude. I don't know if I can.
We have Coffee Club will fund it. We'll all go in together. We'll hold your hand.
God damn.
And we'll watch it happen.
you can't watch it happen. My dick and balls are hanging out.
Nothing we haven't seen before.
What's wrong with that?
Don't be shy.
I hate this shit. I hate it. We'll do it
ready for the gala. So you'll be smooth and shiny for the gala. Just think about after. Like maybe during it'll be like, it'll be brutal, but right after you're gonna feel incredible.
It feels pretty bad the whole time. I don't think it feels good at all.
No, it's great. It feels great. We're gonna have to get that clip put, and we're gonna have to put it up on our Instagram so it becomes like official, and then we'll like do an AI of like Ollie like with a Brazilian. I don't know how you would represent that in AI, but
you can't represent an AI. It's nudity. it's nudity.
We'll blur it out, I guess, and then it'll be official.
It wasn't tattoo on the ass. I didn't say anything about that.
Well, we'll check the clip. So by the time this podcast,
this is the best news ever.
We will.
I'd rather a tattoo.
Have it probably, hopefully, more.
I'd rather George could do mine and put a tattoo anywhere on my body.
Well, I would also like to see that.
I'd rather that.
But that's not what you agreed to.
If we can negotiate that, we can negotiate.
That's not what you agreed to.
I know, but I would like to negotiate.
George has the power here, so it's really up to him.
I'm sticking with this one. I can't think of anything better.
I couldn't think of anything worse.
Yeah. Well, so that's some very good news for you, Joel.
That's such good news.
Congratulations on making that come true. But getting into some of the more nitty gritty of your experience over in Japan. So you went over for a pre-camp before you headed into Tokyo, get acclimatized, et cetera, et cetera. What were the vibes like once you landed there in this foreign country? And I mean, was it actually like hot and humid? Like, how was that kind of experience actually like going into the meet?
Yeah, no, it feels like we haven't had an episode since we did any of that. And apologies to everyone for not getting one out in between now and then, but it's always kind of hard around this time of year. So thank you for bearing with us. Now we got a good one to celebrate. But yeah, we went on like the 1st of September to basically get on the time zone, get over there, and like 2 weeks, well, maybe it's like 10 days before. And the day we got to Tokyo, shit, it was hot. It was like mid-30s, humid as hell, like mid-90s in Fahrenheit. And we stayed one night in Tokyo just by the train station and did some, like, ran around the Imperial Palace, just me and Kai, Ritz and Koki. And it was like the hottest run I've ever done. like, couldn't believe how much we were sweating just on the first run. But fortunately, we were going to the mountains the next day. So took the bullet train. I don't know if you guys saw, like, maybe Robert was putting it on a story. There was like white leather recliners on the train. Did you see that? Was the comfiest train journey of my life. We went like first class, which was shout out whoever bought those tickets. It was like there's like three classes and there's only one carriage at the front of the train. It's called like Grand Class or something. Grand Class. I don't know, but it's amazing. It was so comfy. It's like not like business class on a plane, but it was unreal. And went like 2 hours west up into the mountains, rented a car, drove up this mountain it's kind of like a ski field. It actually was a tiny little ski field called Yudomaru. And it's like a corporate team training facility, GMO team. It's an internet company sponsors a Japanese team that, there were heaps of people, like heaps of Japanese people there. And then me, Kai, Robert, Freddy came, German steeplechaser, who came with Robert from, they flew from Frankfurt, met us there because they both ran the Diamond League final. And up there, it was not as hot. Obviously, we're at like pretty much same altitude as Boulder. And spent a pretty funny week at this facility. There were like four buildings where we stayed, a dining hall, a hotel with a gym in it, or like basically a gym and an onsen and a track. And the facilities were like amazing. And a 50-meter pool, which wasn't open, but like they put some serious work into this facility. And we were in the USA team. Well, not the USA team. USATF would put on a camp up there. So a few of the Americans came, like Grant was there, Graham was there, Clayt, BYU guys, Bryce came up, Jonah came up. Like this was all funded by the US team. And they had like a chef from the US and everything. But obviously we didn't have, the girls went straight to Tokyo a week later because they weren't competing at the beginning. And so we weren't allowed to eat with the, like, and USATF had their own thing. So we went to the Japanese dining hall, three meals a day, and it was pretty funny.
I'm imagining that's very different to what you guys had been, your diet, how your diet had looked before that.
Yeah. a lot of rice was consumed in that week. It was just like the biggest rice cookie you've ever seen. At three meals a day, sticky rice in a bowl. And but it was like incredible food. This actually, the whole like people were so lovely and they were so stoked that we were in there. Especially like this lady at the dining hall, every time we came in was like so happy to see it. It was like, would always make sure like she was like pointing things out and like trying to explain what everything was and like what things to put in with what. Like the hospitality was, yeah, it was amazing. Yeah, it felt like really authentic and we just ate a ton of rice. Kai and Freddie struggled a bit because neither of them eat fish and there was quite a lot of fish. Like every morning was like rice and fish for breakfast and this like soft boiled egg thing that you put on top of the rice.
I think Kai doesn't eat eggs.
Yeah, no, he doesn't.
Yeah, and Kai doesn't eat eggs. So that was no good either. Yeah, nice. He bought some toast from the grocery store. But Freddie struggled even more. There was a lot of plain rice being eaten by Freddie.
Yes.
Ritz was loving it. Ritz was like, he would have like seven different bowls of random stuff because it was soup at every meal, rice at every meal, a few different like main options. And one of the highlights was Robert creating basically just like cereal out of, like he'd just fill a bowl with rice and then put milk and honey on it. And the Japanese people thought that was hilarious.
Oh, you see,
yeah.
Mango in it as well because they do that.
They used to do banana and rice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he would just eat like seven kiwi fruit at one time.
Yeah, lots of fruit. I know that when I was saying this place, we all eat these oatmeal kiwi fruit. Like, we'd eat like four or five kiwi fruits a morning.
That's what he was doing.
He eats so many of them. It's kind of crazy.
That is really impressive.
Yeah, it's very impressive.
So the vibes were really good. Like it was actually a pretty ideal like lead up camp, really quiet, nothing else to do the whole day. Like, yeah, it was full mug mode. We'd just like run in the morning. Sometimes we'd drive down and run at like low altitude and it would be like really hot and humid down there. Come up, eat at our restaurant place and then go to the gym and the onsen in the afternoon basically that was like the heat training we were doing because it wasn't that hot unless you went down. We'd just go sit in the tub for like 10 minutes and it was freaking hot. Like this water was 44 degrees Celsius.
Wow.
It's it said like 111 degrees Fahrenheit, which America, I think the US guys were saying it's like illegal in America for water, for like a hot tub to be that hot.
Wait,
it was insane.
Sorry, I might have missed it. Because we were naked?
We were naked. Well, actually, the first time we weren't sure. Maybe we were running shorts the first time. It was definitely not allowed.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But we didn't know what we were doing. And then the rest of the time, we figured out it was naked. Yeah, you were naked. And no, it was great. It was, try to make it to 10 minutes. But like the first time my hands like started like tingling the last 2 minutes and it was kind of insane. But, did that once a day mostly. And that was like the day. Ran hot tub or ate and then went to bed at like 8 p.m. every night for a week.
Mm-hmm.
So it was good training camp vibes and I think a good setup to go down to Tokyo. Took the bullet train back down and into the like complete opposite environment, just like the most like the most hectic, you fucking chaos in Tokyo.
Tokyo is the biggest,
so busy, so many people.
New York obviously very big city, but when you're in Tokyo, the amount of like sky rises is just like
insane.
It's endless.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's insane. And just like trying to figure out a million trains and buses and accreditation all in Japanese was crazy. But that was the build up at least.
Mm.
And things were feeling good. We only did like two workouts over in Japan, keeping things pretty light. Did both of them with Kai. That was nice. One of them up there on this sweet, they had a 3-lane track. Actually like really nice. And then one of them went down to sea level, and it was freaking hot. Did one in the heat down in Nagano, and yeah,
I love it.
That was the build, at least.
You were ready to go. So I think maybe we'll jump ahead to the heats. And one thing I do want to ask about, because thank you to Core for helping us out with this episode. I mean, we've talked about heat training so much this year because we already did an integration with Core a bit earlier. And also we just got a little bit obsessed with heat training. So we went through all that. But the reason for it was all leading into Tokyo, because everyone knew that it was going to be hot and humid there. And, you know, then I guess there was also just all the other benefits from heat training as well, which have been talked about a lot this year. But specifically when you got to the heats, and you've talked about heat a lot in your journey, and unfortunately normally it's not in a good way, but you got to the heats and you looked real smooth. I mean, I guess including the fall, because you looked like crossing that line, you looked so chill, so good. So I was wondering if you could talk a bit about how the heat actually felt like by the time you got to the race, and about like all the heat training that you did lead into it, like how, you know, that did play a part.
Yeah. Well, I didn't overheat. So that was the main thing. I honestly didn't feel hot, and I felt really prepared for it, and it was not what were the temperatures? We were like in the 80s, maybe high 20s both nights, like 28 or 29 degrees. Obviously it was dark, so that helped. Probably and like, super humid.
Yeah, 80, that's pretty, when you combine that with like 80% plus humidity, that's pretty. You feel that?
Yeah, it definitely led to some slow races in the heats. Obviously, like you saw, the 10K was, I guess the women's 10K. Our first night was definitely a little cooler. Like night one was cooler. The women's 10K, I mean, that's not surprising. They went a lot faster. Men's 10K, they were chilling, and we were chilling. But yeah, it was like almost the heat stuff. Partly, I felt like I was well prepared for the heat, but I also felt like I knew more about how to like, just more to like stay cool before the race. Like we were definitely using way more ice, way more towels, like trying to keep the skin temperature down, and drinking, like probably just having way more water than I would normally think to have like right before. And then there was AC underneath the stadium, like in the core room. So that, like, you didn't feel hot until right when you walked out. And then, yeah, it was honestly all good. So, whether that was just I was super well prepared, I guess that's the best way to think of it. And that I was, yeah, and I didn't really notice it during the race. So that was super nice.
Maybe Cole will make a new category for you, because you already achieved a heat champion. Maybe the specific world champion category now.
Especially
the best avatar core that could possibly exist.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, I felt like I learned a lot doing it. Like doing all that stuff before we left, which made me feel like I could like have confidence doing the onsen heat training, like that, because that was like the only thing we really had, because didn't have a sauna.
Yeah, well, I mean, everyone that watched you do the heat training watched you like day after day, you know, wear a intense heat suit with more layers on top, and you know, it's a like in the moment it's really really intense, but you did it like with the sensor kind of guiding you, and then I guess that would give you so much confidence that you could do something that's intense and then come again, and then you like know that you can feel good doing it and recover, come back the next day. Like that's going to feel pretty good, rather than being intimidated by doing all that stuff. You kind of felt much more like you could take it head on, which I think would help.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And just knowing not to, like we did one run at camp where we went down and it was like unbearably hot and humid, like the kind of run where like our last long run we did like 12 miles, and I, and just like from what I'd learned doing it earlier, like I was running like 7:30 pace by the end, just cause I'd like had like the, like I knew that, that was kind of what you had to do not to go over the edge of like heart rate and everything, just because of the heat. Like I just got progressively slower and slower on this run. But just like had the confidence that that's how, like, I'll like still be recovered for the next day, basically. Mm-hmm. And like be prepared for it, basically.
To run fast, but during the race, and then it was similar to Paris, like knowing that it was hot, but actually on the line thinking this doesn't feel that bad. Think this would be sweet. But that's just without running and just coming from the air conditioned core room for 25 minutes, which feels pretty good. And yeah, I just like had just my skin was burning and a few laps ago, like just super heavy arms and legs. But, you know, there might have been a mental component knowing that it was probably slipping away. I mean, it was warm, but like no one else was talking about it, I don't think. So, I mean, it was 80s, I think. I feel like it really shouldn't be a factor, but it felt like it was. So yeah. It's hard to know. And like I was talking to Butchie afterwards, he just like came up to me, was like asking how it was, and I was like, "Fuck, man, do you get hot out there?" And he's like, "What do you mean? We hot during the race?" He's like, "Nah, no, it wasn't bad." I was like, "Shit, maybe I like, am I just imagining this? Like, am I the only one that feels this?"
Yeah. Well, it's definitely warm for a 5K. But I think at 5Ks, your body is operating at such a high, like, just output of energy that you're going to heat up a lot and it's going to feel really, it just feels really hard. And that probably combined with the heat, I imagine those two things kind of end up going together. And yeah, maybe other people perceive it differently. I guess maybe you perceive it as like feeling really hot or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing is like, even a lot of people perceive it to be hot, but can like don't let it kind of get to them, or just like have been dealing with it enough and doesn't actually affect them even if they feel hot, which I've always struggled with, like even in Boulder. And like we did some heat training, obviously, like putting some layers on and stuff, but just for easy runs, and like workouts never felt good in the heat. I did my workout, like first workout in Eugene I did was when it was hot. When you were pre-meeting, Ollie, I don't know if you remember that. Was that hot to you? You usually were just pre-meeting.
Yeah, I think I, it was hot, but it wasn't like, I think Boulder was a different type of heat. And then coming into Eugene's way more like humid.
Yeah. But I mean, after that first workout, which was like some 200s, some miles and some 200s, I couldn't even cool down. Like I walked because I was so fucked from the heat.
It was also
for just like a light kind of week before workout.
It was also like
I couldn't even run.
The track that it was at, it was like there's no shelter at all. Like it was very, very open.
So in the heat, I mean, I think you felt pretty confident, I imagine, going into it. And probably throughout the race, you felt even more confident because I imagine you felt pretty good running because that's how you looked, especially, you know, moving up to the front. And then the famous fall occurs. So maybe you could talk through actually like what you felt in that moment when you, I mean, I kind of have an idea because you kind of talked about it before. You probably didn't really think much. You just got up and started running. But I want to hear about the fall, that last lap. And then I want to also know, like, were you aware then in the coming 2 days that like that had become kind of like a viral moment? Were you like not really as so exposed to it?
People were definitely letting me know that it was everywhere. And people were showing me a bunch and like asking about it in the hotel and stuff. I was definitely aware that I'd become a meme in like the 24 hours. Yeah, no, the heat was chill. It was really fun being back out there. Like obviously I hadn't run a steeple since Finland and Turku. So the fitness was like a bit of a question mark, but like that last podcast was more like I'd been feeling actually really good. I was excited to get back out there. And I was pretty nervous, like just having not done it in ages, and yeah, well, it's I don't know, I guess it's normal to be nervous at World Champs, but yeah, I was definitely nervous for the first round, and but the fall, yeah, being able to fall and get back up and catch everyone was honestly like a big confidence boost, because I was like even more convinced that the fitness was good. So it was kind of fun. Definitely, yeah.
You look like you're enjoying yourself.
Not,
yeah.
It was fun. Yeah, it was. And it was kind of just what I like, what you hope it's going to feel like, or what you like, you kind of visualize it feeling a certain way, and like try and like, yeah, visualize the heat going away or feeling a certain way. And you'd be prepared for it to be really hard, but you visualize it being really easy and yeah, and feeling good. And if it's not, so be it, but it was really satisfying almost, to have it feel like it did, and know that is like what I thought it could feel like back in Paris, probably. I guess I would have loved it to feel like that back then, and knowing how hard it was in Paris. And then how easy it was in reality here, was really cool and made it really fun.
Yeah.
And that was the vibe.
So you get through the heats, become internet sensation, normal stuff, getting ready to then go take on the world in a final where, I mean, by the time, I don't know exactly how you felt, but you know, like there was a lot of good steeple results throughout the year, but honestly, in those heats, like a lot of people didn't look like they were maybe as good as you were. Like you looked as good as anyone. So I imagine you were feeling so confident going into the final that anything could happen. But maybe even before we move forwards to the final, we could actually take a little step back and just reflect on the whole journey that you have had as a steeplechaser, because something that's really special about it is that it's all been on this podcast in a way, like it's been documented on this podcast, like step by step, like even before your first steeplechase race. And I mean, it's just crazy that you can like, I don't know, you can like
trace the whole time.
Like, yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's kind of always like, that I guess was like the ridiculous dream goal of going to the steeple would have been for it to end up going like this, but yes, definitely had some ups and downs, but it's been really fun being able to, that has been like a record of it, and yeah, from Mount Ballsack, as Ollie put it, for first one. To get on the line here, I think it's all kind of just been part of the process, you know. as they say, yeah, steep learning curve at the beginning, and then take into the event. And
do you remember like, Ritz convincing you? Like, do you remember like all the way back then those conversations?
I feel like he talked about it like literally when I joined the team in like 2020, and it just like took a few years of running and like being decently healthy in 2020, end of 22, start of 23, in order to try it basically. And I think I was always like kind of game for it. Especially after the Eugene 5K being so brutal. And I was like, I never want to run a major championship 5K again. Like, this sucks in the summer. I'm not doing this again. So, yeah, I was down to try something new. And, yeah, it's crazy. crazy to be here now. Looking back at it, I guess. It's more, honestly, the journey the last year has been like from the Paris, from being in Paris, that's probably been, and it's been cool to also have that like journey on here. Everyone, like, I don't know, probably maybe it just sounds like I was just complaining a lot after Paris, but everyone knows how hard that was, like, in those few months after, you know, during Paris and after, and trying to get back to running. I felt like every podcast I was just saying how bad running was going, probably until pretty recently. So that's been, yeah, like, it's been really a lot of satisfaction from knowing that, like, the work I put in since Paris was like the right work, I guess. And not even like worth it, because I think it still would have been worth it had I not won, but I guess it's worth it and also came with a reward, I guess. That's, I don't know, that's like a hard one to like.
Well, what about,
but I still want to be able to run like a good 1500.
There's another event though that Chris has been teasing.
Not for a long time. That was like a year ago.
He was teasing it. I mean, you were practicing for it in some form.
Well, go on, say it.
Steeplechase. Riz thinks you're going to be like the next.
I don't think
big
he thinks that
steeple.
Anymore, though.
Well, probably because he thinks like he's actually good at like without the hurdles. So
it's pretty damn good without the hurdles.
So he doesn't need the hurdles.
Yeah.
But
I don't think George,
I'd love
think
to see George
to
a steeple, though. I think George would be
it.
Really good.
But I don't think George wants to run a steeple. No. So do you want to run a steeple?
Not this year, I don't.
Okay.
No. Wouldn't mind like trying. Just tasting it out, testing the waters.
Got to do the classic Sean McGordy after the season, do a 2K steeple time trial. That's what he did. Like the year before
he actually ran
I think that's what he did. And I think he went pretty well. I think he ran pretty quick for it. So
he seems like he's bailed on that for now.
He has actually. I mean, he's running
so quick. Achilles surgery.
Let's,
to talk about.
I mean, it makes sense what you're saying. Like, I mean, you still would have felt validated that you had given it everything. But, I mean, the payoff at the end, the reward, I mean, that's what we're always chasing. And I think it's time to talk about it. That final race, I mean, it was like, I've listened to your interview, so I know that you felt like this, but I can tell you that everyone that knows you that watching every single lap was like, okay, this is good. This is good. Another lap ticks on. This is good. And then it's like, there's three laps left. And they're all like, and nothing's happened yet. Like, this is really good.
Yeah.
And then it was just crazy to see it unfold. Was that how it felt for you as well?
It feels like the culmination of like the entire textbook George saga, or maybe not the culmination, because hopefully there's more chapters, but from like, I can't remember what, when we coined that, but I don't know what the kind of race that was, Ollie.
Was it not Milrose? Or was it before Milrose?
Was it?
Where,
I actually don't know how it became there.
I think it was that one.
But like from...
Did I say it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you did. I don't know.
I think it was.
You did, but I can't remember when it became this.
Someone has a transcript of all the podcast episodes, so they could just look up like the first time textbook George was listening on the pod.
I think it was when you won the 3K of Milrose. I think it was.
That was pretty early.
That's when
pod days.
Textbook George was like, that was when it was coined, I guess, your kick.
We'll have to check the transcript.
Yeah, but then I noticed that Sidious Mag was using it a lot, and a lot of people were like, and then like from there, I think it was just coined as your kick was a textbook kick, because you always leave the last second. But for this race in particular, everybody that knows you, everybody that's watched you race, even the commentators during the race knew what was going to happen.
Even the Italian commentators knew. Like commentators, like, well, when you went over the water jump, you were still in, what was it, fifth or sixth place? Like, you were passing people that whole time. So I don't know exactly what, but they were like,
maybe.
Yeah, they were like, watch out for Beamish. Like, at that moment.
The water jump was, water jump was very bad. I almost like, I didn't like almost fall, but I landed real, really bad on my left ankle. Just like got super jammed up. Like, it's not I'm not as good at landing on that side. And it was so sore after the race, but luckily did stay on my feet. But yeah, no, I was really like ready to go on the line, I felt like. I wasn't like thinking about winning, I don't think, but I was like confident that it was going to feel like that that the body was like ready to go after 2 days, basically. And the crowd was so sick. It was so loud. Like I'd been looking forward to racing Miura in Japan for so long. And I honestly think he made that race like what it was, at least in the stadium.
Dude, when he went, oh my God, I can imagine that would have been crazy.
Yeah. It was like, it was like a Mexican wave of noise, like moving around. But when he, yeah, like the last two laps when it got going and when he got, like when he moved up into like second, third, maybe, or like towards the front, yeah, the crowd was just going absolutely nuts. And yeah, I didn't think it would be fast from the start. I just think no one really wants to do that without a pacemaker. But I did think like Germer or Freddy or even Mira was going to go at like 1200 or something, or a mile, like halfway, or even a K. But I think he ended up going 800. Or I guess Dan was the one who finally hit the front with like 900 to go, maybe.
Chicken man.
Yeah, shout out Dan.
Yes, chicken.
Such a good dude. And then Germer. So, but yeah, every lap I was like, all right, one more of these. Like one more of these laps would be really nice right now. And I think we were like six, we were like 72s. So it was literally threshold over barriers, which was pretty sweet. And it was feeling good. So that was, yeah. And I just like kept waiting. Probably, maybe I should, like in the heats, I did move up a bit earlier into that, like tried to go a little earlier. Maybe that would have been smart, but I was still just like being patient back there, I guess, and just trying to have as much energy as possible. And then there's just enough excitement, and like the crowd got going the last lap. Had to do some dodging and weaving on the back straight to get around some people or through some people. But Al Bakali was kind of doing the same thing. He was also starting, at least the last lap, like a few people back. And I was like kind of keeping tabs on him. Like I knew like they were behind me the whole race. Because I kept thinking, like,
Al Bakali, video of like how far back he was, like,
yeah, was it's like, so far.
But and so it didn't matter, I guess.
Yeah, he's won some slow races before. Eugene was 8:26 or something, I feel like, or 8:20s. And he won in the last 100. So I feel like he was imagining that happening again. And yeah, last 100 was there still. And it was a lot of fun. Felt good to burn fast over barriers at the end. I don't actually know how fast it was. Maybe 57, someone told me. The last 400 maybe, which is as fast as I've ever gone over barriers. Like we definitely don't do that in practice or anything. But yeah, it's crazy to think it was possible all along. It's the kind of thing you like I never thought it would happen necessarily, but you kind of have the mindset that it's possible. And that, like, I would talk a lot about, like, kind of gold medal mindset, we would call it, or like world championship mindset with my sports psych kind of during the year. And it's almost like you have to, like, have the mindset of winning, or like, you have to, like, do the things to win before you get there, as opposed to, like, have the mindset once it's like, because it hasn't happened yet. You have to like
fake it till you make it, baby.
Basically. And even if like it doesn't happen, like doing the things at that level. Basically, just like setting the bar high, regardless, and making it possible.
Dress for the job you want.
Yeah, or the job you have.
Sorry.
Maybe that. Yeah. Maybe, those are good explanations. So, always, yeah. Maybe if I didn't think it was going to happen. Cat.
I think that's a different saying.
That one might be different.
There's many ways.
And so that was, yeah, very satisfying.
I mean, the last 150 is like the only part of the race I like. I just want to like get, oh, it's just so fun.
Yeah, that's true.
Like I'm not
interested. Especially when you can run that quick.
Yeah.
On it.
Yeah. So, I just don't think I'm as interested in running fast as some people are. Like I respect people that want to run really fast times and like that's what they're in the sport for. But I feel like I'm less interested in finding out, you know, people like, I just want to know like how far I can push myself and see how good I can be.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I respect, of course, but I just don't think I'm as interested in that.
You just want to race.
George just likes the kick to the win. Yeah.
Which is, like, I think you said that in your quote after the race. Something about just how much you love racing.
Like just the last, like, it is so much more fun.
Yeah, that's funny. I totally get that though. I mean, that's like, it's almost like when you race, say if you're racing a 5K, it's like 4.6K of pre-show. And then the last lap is that's the main event right there.
Yeah, I mean, the last like 800 is usually just like any race where it gets hard.
Yeah.
I guess last 800, speaking from a distance runner, probably not the same for people who are in an 800.
So it's just like, it's entertaining to be a part of, and I feel like I want it to be entertaining for people watching as well.
You want to put on a show, and that's certainly what you did. You won that race, and then your victory lap, which we've come to find was, what, 38 seconds?
Yeah,
victory lap, lane 7. I don't know how many lanes are on that track, probably 6.
It's 6 lanes.
And so at 8:19, 2 mile, unofficially. But your victory lap was absolutely electric. How many hands do you reckon you gave high fives to?
Bunch it was, of COVID, probably.
Yeah, probably. COVID. Should have watched those.
The best one, if you were watching, was Mike Smith getting up.
Yeah.
Because the banks are super high, and he was on the ground floor, so like a good couple of meters down, and he jumped up
that was
to try and grab the high five from George.
I like saw him out of the corner of my eye and like ran over to him. Yeah, it was fun, but and I was like going too quick at that point. I couldn't slow
you
down.
You were moving, man. Like I was, and also to be honest, like you did not look tired at all on that victory lap. I was like, is this guy like even just race? Like he looks way too good. You look way too good.
Sometimes I'm like it's hard with a few laps to go, and then I'm like, I finish. I'm like, oh, just keep going. But
100%.
And I think it's just adrenaline at that point, though.
Definitely makes a big difference.
By the end of that up, I was like, fuck, that was probably the hardest lap.
Yeah, I mean, like, after you close in a 12-plus second 100 and then run a full extra 200 meters.
Yeah.
It's very impressive, no matter what you do. Can we hear about the victory lap, please? Because, like, you don't get to see that on the stream.
Yeah, it was fun. Had Albuquerque around with me. The Kenyan guy left, so that's why there was no photo. That was why it was only me and him in the water.
Bath with you.
We couldn't find him. I don't think he did a victory lap.
Probably didn't.
No, it was
crazy.
Yeah, maybe he did.
I don't know. He might have thought he could get back into the stadium and But so you went around.
I couldn't tell you.
Who'd you see going around the stadium? You would have saw your family. I saw some photos and stuff.
First person I saw. Jordan Donnelly.
Really?
Of course.
Yeah, right. Oh, behind like the main camera media section. That's pretty funny.
You're going crazy.
And then did a full lap. Took my time. Probably like 25. Had to wait for that hurdles race to happen. So that also was why it took ages. Jumped in the water with Albuquerque. And then saw Ritz, Kelsey, Jason, Kogi and Santana, like at the basically behind the water pit area. I went up the stairs to see them. I don't know if you've seen the photo, and like all basically got arrested.
Seen the photo?
They were not happy that I was like over the barrier. It was pretty funny. And then so that was special. And then saw mum and dad and Jenna and Max and Kevin. And Layla, Jenna's sister, they were at like the 100 meter like 100 to go, like right down the bottom there. So saw them. That was sweet. Took some fun photos and yeah, celebrated there for a bit. Yeah, that was real special. And then,
so how many times have your parents seen you wear the black? Probably not many. Does Com Games? And then the Eugene.
I think they were in Eugene.
Yeah. There's only a handful of times compared to how like how much you raised. Crazy that they, you know, that race.
Yeah.
It's I can imagine.
I know, and they haven't. Yeah, they weren't in Glasgow.
They weren't. Yeah, Glasgow.
And they were in Paris, so they obviously were there for the disappointments and the hard the hard moments in Paris. And then yeah, coming off the track here was a bit different. But I mean, I always said like I was really proud of the race and I put together in Paris, like given the circumstances. And I feel like that's kind of how the sport goes, like, because I'm also really proud of this race. And like those are similar feelings, but like the outcome is obviously very different, but they're still like both races I'm proud of. And like, maybe I think that's just like a lot of things in running. If you just like keep showing up and you keep giving what you have on the day, like that was just what I had on the day in Paris last year. That was so fucking hard and I didn't make the final. But it was like, I learned a lot and, like that was probably slightly, not like career defining moment, but like, I don't know, you just grow a lot from the really hard times kind of thing. And then, also proud of this one and that was what I had on the day this time. And this time I felt really good and, I was super fit and the body was good. So that's kind of the difference. And, I'll see you finally.
Yeah,
there it is.
Oh, it's so pretty.
This is what you get.
Is it heavy?
It is quite heavy.
This pristine.
Yeah, wow. that's a big fat.
Did they
metal.
Engrave it yet?
Got engraved on the back.
Nice.
That's sick.
Wow. Yeah. So
they intense. Give you they. Yeah, they give you one like right when you cross the line now, basically, for like the photos on the track, and then you have to give that one back and they go in, or I don't know if it's the same one. And then they give you an engraved one the next day at the medal ceremony.
Nice. That's so cool how they do it.
But after the race. Yeah. I mean,
I think it's cool. When
obviously,
they
I guess I already mentioned them.
That's cool.
But, Ritz was, loving it. And, big shout out to Ritz for being on the journey as well. Had lots of pretty hard times together, and a few super highlights, and like we've always said, he feels all of them. So that was special. So and Jason as well, like working through that stuff in Paris, that was pretty special to come back to Tokyo with him and have him through all of that as well, and then yeah. Got to celebrate with mum and dad and stuff. And then, after the race, got out of drug testing at 1 a.m. probably. Like, took 3 hours to leave the stadium. And went to the On house, like the Tokyo place. And they put on, like, an epic party, basically. Like, it was so cool. They were probably, like, 70 or 80 people like waiting for me at On at literally 1 a.m. Like, I don't know how long they'd been there, but it took so long to get out. I did quite a lot of interview stuff too. That took ages, but like an hour of drug testing. And then, yeah, got to On and everyone, like Olivia was there, Flavio was there. They both had some speeches. They had the race on. Yeah, Olivia said some, like the founder of On, said some really nice words. Flavio spoke. Andy Weeding spoke, actually.
Well, kind of crazy, right? Because On won another gold medal. Like how many?
Oh, yeah, the hurdles that we were on the track for.
That's crazy. Yeah.
So got to win On's first ever world championship gold medal, and then 5 minutes later we won another one in the 100 hurdles, which is pretty, I think, so they were losing their minds.
Yeah.
Carlo made me a shoey out of an On spike.
Oh, that's so good.
Hell yeah.
It's good that it doesn't so yeah. That. Yeah, exactly. Held the beer real good. Jacob was there getting everything. So it was really special to have just everyone from On like be so excited and loving with me. Like a lot of those guys like we met in 2020 and have like got to work with and get to know over 5 years, and then to see like even how much like my winning means to these guys that either like marketing or make the shoes at On. The people from the Vietnam factory were there, like the Vietnam like team that, like this lady that made my shoes, she was like literally crying. It was so sweet.
Vietnam, they have a massive thing of you on the wall there, I think. So they probably see you everywhere.
Yeah, I think they do. And I signed a pair of slides. Like she was like, yeah, it was, that was really special. So they were loving it. Like just the reception there was really fun, and, popped some champagne on the roof and, we're there till, I don't know, till 3:30 maybe. And everyone was still going. I think some of the On people like went to karaoke at like 4 a.m. Like they carried on. They kept going through the night. So they had all the energy in the world. It was really fun to celebrate with them. And that was basically it. That was the night. it was really cool.
So good.
Yeah.
Well, I wish we could have been there.
Major FOMO. And also like when your friend and so like when that happens, it's disappointing that you don't get to experience it with them. But we were in Boulder and you were in Italy.
I was in Italy.
So we were in different parts of the world, but in Europe and in America where we usually are, and we were celebrating. It was, that's the one thing I remember, because it's early in the morning here. I remember like after like the night, I had a feeling like I was sitting in my living room with Gus, and I had a feeling, I was like, I think Georgia's going to win. Like I had that feeling before Glasgow. I don't know if you had that feeling, but I had the feeling.
I caught it. Whenever Cinta comes back on the podcast, you can ask.
Yeah, I had a feeling you were going to win.
Going to win after the heats.
I was like, he's going to win or he's going to medal, but I think he's going to win. And the reason why I felt that was, I think after watching, I mean, you probably felt the same, but after watching the heat and that you went down, and then like the last 100 meters, you're running past everyone, just gliding, brushing your shoulders. I just thought, yeah, he's going to win. Like, I just don't think anybody could have beaten you that last 100 meters. And we were right again. But it was a shame we weren't there to celebrate. But the nice thing and the wonderful thing about our journey is we still have a few years to have these opportunities and these journeys together. And hopefully there will be one time when we are all together and something special like that happens. If I have any juju left, I am putting most of that towards Morgan. But I am hoping that will happen where the three of us are there together, because obviously with our teammates, we get to experience their highs and lows every day, every week. You know, you get annoyed with each other, or you get, you know, have a good week or a bad week of training. And we experience all that with them. But particularly the three of us, we experience it much more intimately. So to have that moment to share it, to celebrate it, it's something that feels like we've also been, you know, some sort of vital or important part of that journey. And I know I felt like that with you two for Com Games. And I know George has felt that with Glasgow and now with Tokyo, and even making the Olympics to the three of us together. It was
special.
It was special. So
not to be taken for granted.
No. And I think the next few years, I'm feeling that we've paid our dues. So I'm looking forward to the next few years and just sending positive vibes for the three of us to hopefully have those experiences together. But we were celebrating from afar, George, and we are extremely proud of you. Yeah. And we hope that you act a bit silly, get on the silly juice,
and you spend time with the family and you enjoy the much deserved and needed celebrations that are ahead. And the gala will be, we will have something special there for you at the gala. We'll organize that with Tom.
Nah.
And Gus has already...
Something special for all of us.
No, well, Gus has already signed off on the invoice. So it's the only race he paid attention to. So, yeah, we're extremely proud of you.
Well,
and,
one cool thing that we are going to do to help celebrate and immortalize this moment is we are going to sell, make up a t-shirt and a poster that the fans can purchase as well. So we can all have that, which I think is going to be something that's really fun to do. We haven't finished it yet as we record this, but hopefully by the time this podcast goes out, there will be a link or on our website, coffeeclubpod.com, where you can go and check it out if you would like to join us as well. But I think if we can immortalize the moment with that, that'll be pretty cool as well.
Yeah.
So
that'd be special. Thanks, boys. It is like, yeah, I'm going to try really hard to like savor the moment and enjoy it because, as everyone knows on this podcast, like, fuck, it's hard, eh? Like, this sport is so hard and I feel so lucky to have you guys in support as well, but obviously everyone had so much support from New Zealand fans and on and my family. Like it's obviously just there's too many people to thank, but I also like you can't take it for granted because like it's so hard to also have like yeah obviously I wish all three of us had won Worlds together, but you know, that doesn't happen in real life. And, you know, I always feel like just every time I hear Morg's new injury, like the last couple of years, like just breaks my heart that, that we can't all be doing it at the same time. And we don't need to go into it today, but Ollie, not being in Tokyo was really hard, yeah, and hard for Ollie and hard for all of us. So that's for another day. But
I feel like we're having a good time. So it's been enjoyed. Yeah. It's been enjoyed in some way.
Exactly.
We wish we were there with you. But the exciting thing about this is.
Next year we'll come games, baby. Well, we're not done at all.
We're not done. We've got some years.
Exactly.
And, you know, like I mean, I'm
and that was Paris for me in a lot of ways, and so there's just like you just keep showing up, and there's something.
Dude, the results.
There's something on the other side.
The results from World Championships tell me one thing: you keep at it, you stay in your lane.
Dude,
you
work hard.
Nothing's predicted.
Nothing's predicted.
You gotta
go
for it.
Morgan could win LA 28. I would not be surprised. I would be not surprised if you go back and win again. I wouldn't be surprised if I medal in something. I just would not be surprised at this sport anymore. I am not surprised at all. And the one thing that I know is that the three of us work extremely hard. We give it our best shot. We got a kind heart, but we've also been through the sport now that I think we kind of know where things need to go, what pieces need to be filled on this jigsaw puzzle. But in general, I mean... Yeah. To be
at least one thing I showed, like, you can have really low, you can be at like such a hard point, and a year later, like show that it's possible.
Exactly.
Like you can.
Exactly.
That's an amazing story that you've been through, not just last year, but also this year as well. I mean, which our fans all know about.
Yeah.
But,
no, and it's been documented, so it's great to be able to have that journey in that part, and it will hopefully not just inspire us to keep going, but generations of runners and people that listen to us, they have their own little goals in life and in running, whether it's professional, amateur, college, or just hobby jogging. And even, you know, we hopefully inspire them. And I know you have, George. So it's been amazing. It's been amazing. The journey's been amazing. And we're not done yet. So.
Yeah. Well, I would love to thank everyone for joining us on what has been an extremely, extremely special episode. It's been quite amazing, really. Near future for us. George is very busy. Hard man to get these days. He's on vacation with his family right now. So we're very thankful that he did give us the time. Ollie and I are going to be here for the next few weeks banging out episodes until George does return. I mean, hopefully he is able to check in and stuff as well. But we're going to keep chugging along over here, doing our thing, doing the best that we can. And so we have 200 episodes in the bank, but many, many more to come. So thank you guys so much for joining us on this wild ride. And yeah, I guess we look forward to seeing you guys all again next week. I don't know.
Is thank you very much, guys.
Good place to end it. I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
Arigato gozaimasu.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone.
Gozaimasu. Yeah, thanks, boys.
We'll be back.
3, 2, 1. What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 1 of the Coffee Club, a new exciting podcast with some runner boys. This is officially episode 1 for us. Last week, we tried to film an episode, and that's episode 0. That's a hidden secret facts. Episode. You guys will never get to see that one.
Facts.
Spin straight facts.
I think our idea as well, once we start to get the logistics better, is that we'd do this live, so then we'd have people who join into the coffee club, have their coffee any time of day, really, and you can kind of sit with us and have a conversation. What we're doing. So
yeah, I think rule one was actually this is either rule one or
same
rule
place
two.
Same time. I think exactly. That's rule same. One.
Exactly. So then it's like a part of your weekly routine for say on like a Saturday at 11 a.m.
Yeah,
we all sit down and have coffee.
And then
together
you guys
and
can send us topics, send us messages, and you can kind of engage with us and we can have a conversation. I think it'd be nice, you know.
Yeah.
Every morning is. I think we found a lot of joy in Eugene doing that. And just sitting down and enjoying each other's company. So we thought we'd bring that to much more of a wider audience.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, that's, we had 6 rules, but that's pretty much all you need to know. I would like point, as a quick summary, I think it's going to be pretty informal. You know, like we're obviously a bunch of pro runners. So we're going to talk about what's going on in our lives in the pro running world a lot. But it's going to be really informal. So hopefully it's kind of a different dynamic or a different perspective compared to what you might listen to on other running type podcasts. Like primarily we want it to just be entertaining, just relax. I mean, I think we'll probably hopefully share some nuggets of wisdom here and there, but hopefully above all else it's just entertaining, just us having a little chat. So yeah, I think that's our goal.
Thank you everyone, whether it's during your morning cup of coffee or a few miles on your weekend long run. We are so grateful to spend this time with you. Every single one of you have played a huge part in our journeys, and we hope to see you again soon. Love, Coffee Club.
I don't know any of the other rules, but
I don't remember any of them.
How about we just get rolling into the topics then?
I think that's a fantastic idea.
And the first topic which we wanted to talk about, and as I'm about to talk about this, I already kind of feel awkward talking about other pro runners, but that's kind of like what we wanted to talk about because that is what we would talk about among ourselves. But this past week, I think Sinclair Johnson, I think it was only 2 days ago, she just announced that she was leaving Bowman.
Coffee club, grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus, it's them boys from Coffee Club. Coffee Club.